Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Scott Kirzner. This afternoon, GE made it official. One of the biggest companies in the world, number 8 on the Fortune 500 list, with $149 billion in revenue, is leaving Connecticut and moving its headquarters to Boston.
GE CEO Jeff Immelt said in a press release today, quote, "We want to be at the center of an ecosystem that shares our aspirations, and Massachusetts spends more on research and development than any other region in the world. We are excited to bring our headquarters to this dynamic and creative city." Also excited, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh was quoted at a press conference this afternoon saying, "We won Powerball here in Boston by having GE come to town." So, listeners, what's your take on this? What do you think about America's eighth largest company moving to Boston? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston, and we're going to be talking with a lot of people about this, Scott. But actually, I want to start with you because you cover innovation.
Luckily, I'm here. Here I am.
How big is this for Boston?
Oh my gosh, Powerball is really a good metaphor for it. But I was also thinking, you know, we're so nervous about will we get to the Super Bowl this year with the Patriots? But this is like the Super Bowl of corporate America, right? GE is a household name. You know, everybody grew up hearing GE, we bring good things to life, and screwing in GE light bulbs. So this is a recognizable company. It's a company that's in transition, that's trying to figure out what are we going to really be in the 21st century. And the fact that they would pick Boston is just a big win. And I think it also kind of covers up for a lot of sins. You know, when you look at all the companies that we bemoan, you know, why isn't Facebook located mm-hmm. in Boston? You know, why did they start in Harvard and move to the West Coast? We've worried so much about our consumer technology and internet and mobile shortcomings. And this is GE saying we pick Boston because of a number of things that Boston's really strong in, like energy and clean tech and healthcare. And software and analytics, which they view as a big part of their future.
Right. So I'm looking at the GE statement today released, and they're saying that not only are they moving their headquarters here, but they're also kind of changing the structure of it, Scott, right? 200 people from corporate staff and 600 digital industrial product managers, designers, developers. They're also starting something called a GE Digital Foundry that will be created for incubation and product development with customers, startups, and partners. So it'll be quite a presence, likely to be in the Seaport District. But this is also, we should say, a big loss for Fairfield, Connecticut, where I guess until today, GE was officially headquartered. Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy gave a press conference just this afternoon talking about how he tried hard to keep GE in his state. Here's a little of that.
We had discussions. It was apparent that transportation was a major issue for them. Proximity to an airport with international travel was extremely important to them. I offered, we talked about things like helicopter transportation to a New York airport, depending on where they would locate. But you know the area. I know the area. They're going to be right next to an international airport.
They're going to be able to see Logan practically from the Seaport. Scott, on this end, there was deal making, too. What do we know about that?
Well, there's a package of incentives from both the state and the city of Boston that seems like it could add up to almost $150 million, $120 million from the Commonwealth, up to $25 million from the city of Boston, and that's mostly property tax relief. But a lot of these incentives are about things, relate to things that will help the state. You know, it's workforce training to help people be ready for jobs at GE. It's creating $5 million for this innovation center that is going to help connect GE to academia here, all the great universities around town and the research that they're doing.
Those 55 universities they keep talking about.
Yes. Yeah. And this is an interesting piece of language. It's, it's the city and state committing to existing local transportation improvements. So I don't know if that means, hopefully that means better transportation in the Seaport District as opposed to just, we're going to reupholster the Silver Line buses
yeah.
in honor of GE.
So a lot going on there. But Scott, I'm going to hand it over to you because we've got a lot of other voices who have something to say about GE. So go ahead.
Yeah. First up is Daniel Coe. He's chief of staff for Mayor Marty Walsh. Dan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there has to be a little bit of football spiking happening in City Hall today, I'd imagine.
I'll leave the football spiking to Rob Gronkowski, but we're feeling pretty good about today, and I think it's a real testament to not only GE, of course, but there's been a ton of collaboration between the mayor's office and the governor's office, really since the very early stages of this whole process that we just feel really good about, and obviously it's resulted in something that we're really excited for. As you alluded to, we really think this is game changing for Boston.
And now we already have, you know, there are big law firms, there are big accounting firms in the Seaport District. There's Vertex Pharmaceuticals, which has a giant facility there, but what is GE coming to that neighborhood, and what is GE coming to Boston mean, do you think?
I mean, I think GE is synonymous with innovation, right? And they've actually, as you've seen on TV, as you cited in your article, they've really kind of put that back in the forefront recently. I think it really sends a message to the world that Boston is the innovation city, that we're at the forefront of that. You know, President Obama coincidentally cited Boston at first when he started talking about entrepreneurs last night. It was convenient timing with today. I think obviously the GE wouldn't have come to Boston if they didn't think that we were a leader in that. We have so many young college graduates in this area now, and when they're thinking about graduating from school, of course they already had a number of great businesses in this area to think about, but thinking about an opportunity in their backyard to work for a global company like GE, I think just adds even more to a city that already was on a roll.
Dan, let me ask you a quick question, some fact-checking here. I mean, I'm sure. Looking at GE's statement that they put out this afternoon, and they say there is no material financial impact to GE related to the cost of the move, and then as Scott mentioned a minute ago, that the city of Boston says it's going to offer $25 million in property tax relief. Is that a one-time $25 million? Is that over a couple of years? Tell us a little bit more about what Boston offered GE.
We are determining kind of the final aspects of that, and that depends, you know, on a number of different factors that are outlined in property tax abatement agreements that are pretty technical. But I think it really relates to, you know, how much space is being taken up, how the space is being converted, et cetera. But yeah, the way we've outlined it is up to $25 million in property tax relief from the city. A number of different things that we'll be rolling out in an overall package in the coming days relate to, you know, making sure that we're streamlining permitting and making sure that aspect works well. And you know, our work isn't done here. GE still is determining where in the seaport they most would like to be. So the city and state are continuing to work with GE, and they will in the coming months to finalize where that location will be. I think what happened is, you know, of course GE knew that there'd be a number of logistics to get to the point where we are, but I think they felt really confident in both the teams and in the location that they were ready to make the announcement, and that we would finalize the details in the upcoming weeks and months, which is what we plan to do.
And Dan, just back to those transportation improvements, you know, the Seaport area is one of those neighborhoods that's been growing so fast. People do complain about traffic. There's complaints about, you know, the Silver Line is that, you know, it doesn't feel like the T sometimes. What's going to change about transportation in the Seaport District if you fast forward 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, so one of the big things that we're obviously focused on is the Northern Avenue Bridge. The allusion in the document that you referred to is actually just is highlighting the fact that we are recommitting to making sure that bridge gets built in an expedited fashion, and we're finalizing the design that makes the most sense for that area. I think obviously with the success of the Seaport, I think everyone who's in the Seaport has concerns before GE about the traffic, and we have a number of things we need to do, both in the infrastructure perspective, but also in kind of the quote unquote smart cities perspective, right? So we're doing experiments right now on how we synchronize the lights in the Seaport District based on Waze data. So using outside data to understand the dynamics of the traffic and synchronize the lights accordingly. We're looking at how that could apply to light synchronization with the MBTA and the Silver Line, so that if a bus is approaching the light, it'll change green automatically or stay green depending on when the public transportation is there.
So Dan, I'm going to can you mind if I just jump in here, because sure. We're actually getting quite a bit of response from our listeners to this news that GE is officially moving its headquarters to Boston. And this is Massachusetts, right? So there's a range of opinions here.
Of course.
Leo Cruz sent us a tweet saying, as a soon to be graduate engineer, it really boosts his confidence on finding a job with GE moving to Boston. Whereas we got a tweet a little earlier today from Joni McPhee, who says, I suggest you think about Fitchburg, which crumbled after GE left. I mean, I think people do have long memories. GE has had a presence in the state before. What do you say to people like Joni?
Well, look, I think, you know, obviously there are concerns with any large company moving, and obviously that's something that the mayor's office and the governor's office is very, very concerned about. I think with respect to that comment, I think in Boston as an ecosystem that we think is prime and ripe for a company like GE to come and, quite frankly, add rocket fuel to what happening in Boston already. Boston economy right now is already booming without GE, and I think that that's evident, and that's something to keep in mind. But I think we really feel like when you bring in GE, again, it just adds another boost to a city that was already on a roll, and I think really takes it to the next level.
And Dan, just one quick detail question, and then I want to bring another voice in the conversation here.
Yeah.
When did the phone call come, and when you and the mayor got the phone call, did you still think, gee, there's a chance this goes to New York, there's a chance they come to Boston?
So, of course, as you can understand, you end up reading a bunch of tea leaves and understanding kind of what the buzz is and all of that. I must say the people who led the process at GE and Klee and that team were really incredible. They were incredibly collaborative. They were incredibly open in terms of kind of having a conversation about where it was. But in long story short, we heard this morning that we had been selected. Obviously, they wanted to make sure the rollout was appropriate and all of that, which is what they've just confirmed.
Did you go to sleep last night thinking we could get bad news today, we could get good news today?
Well, I really wanted to tell you, Scott, actually, when we were talking earlier and a couple of days ago, that we thought we were really close, but I couldn't.
You should have done it, Dan. Come on.
So yeah, let me quickly bring Greg Bialecki into the conversation.
Sure.
He was with us yesterday when we were still thinking, is this going to be Boston? Is this going to be New York? Greg is the executive vice president of Redgate, a real estate development firm, and he's former secretary of housing and economic development under Governor Deval Patrick. Greg, thanks for coming back.
Sure. How are you, Scott?
Great. So let's talk about the incentive package, just because there are a lot of caller questions about that. Does this package feel small, medium, or large to you for what Boston gets?
Well, you know, overall in number, it's a large package in absolute number, but certainly proportionate to the opportunity and what this means for the Massachusetts economy. It seems very, very appropriately sized to me. You've got the literal tax generation that this new GE operation is going to create, corporate taxes, individual income taxes, local property taxes, plus all the sales tax and everything that comes out of that. So from a fiscal perspective, you know, most of these state and local tax credits, like the property tax credit Dan was talking about, are based on giving back a portion of what the city or the state receives, so that in all these deals, the city or state is still coming out well ahead of where it would be if the company wasn't here. I'm sure that's the way the governor and the mayor are structuring this one now. So that's just the direct impact. And, of course, then there's also the other effect of having the it being a symbol for the city and the synergy with our universities and our startups and so forth. And also, Scott, as you said, it sounds like a chunk of the package is fairly going into infrastructure improvements, whether that's transportation infrastructure or a new innovation center that's a shared resource. And so those are things that benefit us all.
So one of the questions that we all had when we heard the news this morning was about housing prices. And, you know, you have like 700 or 800 white collar senior executives from GE who are presumably selling their houses in Fairfield and going to start shopping tomorrow in the Boston area. So, Greg, you're a real estate guy. What does that do to house prices around here?
Well, fortunately, we're a big enough city and metro area where we're, you know, trading tens of thousands of homes every year. So I think maybe in some of the most exclusive neighborhoods in and around Boston, it will add a little bit to the price pressure. But I think the overall effect in the market will be very little.
Well, Greg Bialecki, former Secretary of Housing and Economic Development under Deval Patrick, great to have you back again today. And you called it yesterday. So maybe you ought to go out there and buy a Powerball ticket. It might be your lucky day. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you. Take care.
We're talking about GE's decision to relocate its headquarters to Boston. The company made it official today. It is number 8 on the Fortune 500 list of $130 billion, roughly, in revenue last year. last year. They're looking at the seaport to move their corporate headquarters to. And we're looking for your reaction. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You just heard Greg Bialecki on this. Also, we're joined by Dan Coe. He's chief of staff for Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Dan, stand by for just a second here because I want to get a couple callers in if we could. Samira is calling from Andover. You're on the air, Samira.
Hi, thank you. I agree with Greg and Dan. I think it's a wonderful move by GE. I worked at GE Healthcare in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a couple years ago, and I'm most thrilled about the innovation that they'll bring to the medical devices and life sciences industry, and also just management styles and technology that they develop. I think in a way, GE is going to benefit quite a bit because of the innovation that's happening here in Boston. I wasn't this thrilled since I heard about the Wynn Resorts being won over here in Boston, so I'm very glad.
Samira, thank you so much for your call. Let's move now to Debbie, to Jessica, who's calling from Roslindale. You're on the air, Jessica.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling because while GE moving here sounds great in so many ways, the news arrived at the same time as the news of the Boston Public Schools facing a deficit of up to $50 million in the coming year. And it just seems that the juxtaposition of these two news items and the two, the disproportionate attention that bringing a corporation into Boston is getting from the mayor to the attention that our children and the schools are receiving for their needs, it just seems unfair.
Jessica, thank you so much for your call. It's interesting because education and the education opportunities in Boston and surrounding communities are part of the reason why GE said it wanted to come here. Dan Coe, can you just give us a response to Jessica's concern there?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's very well justified to have that concern. What she is addressing is part of the regular budget process for the city of Boston that we go through every year. It gets officially finalized in the kind of April to July period, and then when we first set out, we kind of say, okay, at the current kind of status quo, where are our expenses going and how do we rectify that, right? So we are very much in the early stages of that budget planning process. We plan to not cut funding, actually, to Boston Public Schools, but add to funding to Boston Public Schools. I think the question for every department, and this is in Boston Public Schools is no stranger to that, is, how do we make sure that our budget's balanced and how do we make sure that we're making the appropriate adjustments in our budget to invest in the appropriate things? And I think what the greatest thing about something like GE is that one of the things they said to us right off the bat is that they want to be corporate partners to schools. And so they want to play a role in BPS. And you can imagine the incredible impact they could have with a program where they did make an investment in Boston Public Schools, and that's what we intend to work with them on.
So I want to bring someone else in the conversation now. Swapnil Shah is CEO of First Fuel Software in Lexington. Swapnil, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you met with Jeff Immelt, GE's chief executive, 2 years ago at this event in San Francisco where GE was thinking about the future of healthcare and energy and software. Do you think now looking back, I mean, was that exploration in some way a step towards this decision that we learned about today?
I can't comment on the physical move of the corporate headquarters, but certainly I got an insight into how they were thinking about the changing landscape in the water and the utility energy sector, which is going through a significant transformation as we speak. And as they surveyed their customers and what changes their customers and their business was going through, they also reached out to a set of startups and innovative companies, First Fuel being one of them, to really understand where that direction was headed and allowed us to share some of our views on where the energy markets were headed with them, which I think culminated in large part to the launch of a new division within GE called Current, which I think you covered, Scott.
Well, they announced last October, I think, that this is a new division that contains a lot of their lighting and energy activities, that they're going to place that in Boston.
That's correct, and a large part of that was driven by they see the current really at the intersection of energy, data, and analytics and software.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask, Swap, what was your impression when you spent time with Jeff Immelt? Is he a pretty tech-savvy guy? Did he have an iPad or a legal pad when you met with him?
He was in listening mode. Just recalling back to, it was almost 2 years ago, but he was certainly in learning and listening mode and asked some pretty insightful questions. Clearly, very well versed in the different lines of businesses and also the innovation that's happening out there. So I was pretty impressed by how much he already knew about what we did and where the market was headed.
And now we fret a lot here in Boston about how do you keep all of these college graduates in town, and keep them maybe from moving to New York or San Francisco or other places. Do you think GE's headquarters being here is going to change the dynamic a little bit?
I think so. We heard from a couple of callers that called in that they're pretty excited about as they graduate as engineers and as product people, having this opportunity where a massive multinational corporation is now as sort of an anchor tenant in Boston. I mean, there's always been a lot of interesting startups and mid-sized companies that graduates of all the 50 local universities could apply to and go to. But having an anchor tenant really provides a whole different level of foundation in terms of spawning additional startups, spawning an entire ecosystem, and providing a base for these graduates to really build their careers.
You know, it's interesting, Swapnil, because according to GE's statement, they already feel like that ecosystem exists in part in Boston. They're saying we want to be at the center of an ecosystem that shares those aspirations. Hang in there for a second, Swapnil, and Dan Koh, haven't forgotten that you're still with us, Dan, because I do want to bring in one more voice, because again, this is an ecosystem question here in Boston. Sean Becker, he's president of Spark Plug Power in Somerville, also a former senior contract manager at GE. Sean, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Magnath, especially with this news today.
And so I take it that you're thrilled.
I am. I made the move back to Boston many years ago, but I'm glad to see that GE has done so as well.
And so I understand that you worked for GE Power at one time?
That's right. I was in the Schenectady office and then the Atlanta office with the hydro business and then again the power turbines business. And that's sort of a large industrial driver of the business.
Yeah. So we just heard Swapnil talk about how having a big company like GE headquartered here, it forms a sort of an anchor company that benefits the entire ecosystem, tech and innovation ecosystem in greater Boston. I mean, can you describe to us, sort of more in more detail and concrete terms, what difference does it make for a company like Sparkplug in Somerville?
Well, based on my past experience, what you see is when there's a sort of a big anchor in the area, you get a lot of companies that supply. So at Greentown Labs, where I work out of in Somerville, one of the companies, Crowd Comfort, has GE as a client. GE sponsors Greentown Labs, and so they're more inclined to do things like that in their home.
And Greentown, we should mention, Sean, is this shared workspace in Somerville that your company is based in, yes?
That's correct. And so even before they came here, they were a sponsor there. But you see these things build upon. They don't have to fly in from Houston or New York or drive up from Fairfield. They're here. And so those events increase in frequency and have a greater depth because there's more people who can be involved.
You mentioned, Sean, we were tweeting a little bit yesterday, so you mentioned that this GE Power division, which is clearly on an upward trajectory, is one of their really important businesses, is run by an executive who lives in Duxbury, Massachusetts, Steve Bowles. So do you think you worked under Bowles when you were at GE? Do you think he played a role in this decision? And what does this say about, is Steve Bowles the next CEO of General Electric?
Well, I won't make a prediction on who's going to replace Jeff Immelt, so I think he'll be around for a bit. But I'm sure Steve had an impact. I was at GE in 2003-2004, so there was a little bit of a baseball feel to the air, and especially in upstate New York in Schenectady. And you could see how many GE executives have ties to the region. I believe there's also a vice chairman who lives nearby, Dan Heinzelman. So that is not an insignificant factor. But not only that executive wants to live here, but that executive can vouch for the wonders of the area, you know, the innovation used to get places, you know, and the community in Boston.
Well, we're fast running out of time here, and I want to just get one more piece of tape here from just this afternoon from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh himself. Here's what he said about GE deciding to move to the Seaport.
For two decades, we've had companies move out of our city, and now we have people moving into our city, and I think that's a big win.
And Dan Coe, last word goes to you because we got to wrap up this segment here. But give us a thought about what your boss just said.
I just think it's tremendous symbolism that a company so large that is really the leader for hundreds of years on innovation is sending a message to the world by saying that they want to be in Boston with 800 jobs. And I think it's an extraordinarily exciting moment for a city that we really need to seize and build off of.
Dan Coe is Chief of Staff for Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Dan, always great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Swapnil Shah, CEO of First Fuel Software, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your perspective.
Thank you very much.
And Sean Becker, President of Spark Plug Power in Somerville and former Senior Contract Manager at GE, great to have you as well, Sean.
Thank you.
And listeners, let us know what you think about GE's decision to move its headquarters to Boston. You can always send us tweets at Radio Boston. And Scott is at Scott Kersner, by the way. He promises to retweet everything related to this show, right?
Thank you, at Meghna WBUR.
Yeah. Stay with us. There's more coming up in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Scott Kersner. This is Radio Boston.